Okay, today we're learning Midot Daf Lamed Zayin. We're going to finish the Masechet and finish all of Seder Kodshim. Before we start, Naomi brought me an article from Makor Rishon this week called Bayit Katan Bazara, where they based it on research done by Dr. Yoshua Peleg about the Mikdash, and it talks about how in Bayit, when they rebuilt the Beit HaMikdash, Koresh only allowed them to build a very small temple. And the measurements had to be much smaller because he didn't want them to get, right, if you build a big temple, people will get more power and it will be kind of, you know, a danger to him. So that was first of all. Then Hordus, Herod, wanted to make it much larger. So he expanded, but in order to expand, first of all, as in most things that happen in politics, you know, there was a lot of people didn't want him to change anything. They weren't happy with it. You know, he obviously wanted a much bigger and more beautiful temple. As we all know, everything Herod built was grand. One of the things that he had to deal with was that the people didn't want to stop working while he redid the temple. So, and that's part of the reason. And one of the reasons why it's much larger is he wanted something much larger, but also he had to build around, keep the existing and build around what was. He made sure to train Kohanim in order to do the work of the building so that there would be Kohanim, only Kohanim there in the sanctified areas. And anyway, it's an interesting article if you want to read it. I'll try to scan it and post it. It's not yet online, but maybe in a week it'll be online and then I can easily post it. But anyway, okay, starting with Midot Peret Rivi'i Mishnah Gimel. U'shloshim u'shmonat ta'im, right at the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Shloshim u'shmonat ta'im hayusham. Okay, if you look at the map, maybe we can open the bigger one, it's easier to see. This one we'll use later. Okay. There were 38 cubicles. Hayusham. If you remember, we talked about this one cubicle. When you walk in to the sanctuary, if you remember, they walked in the Pishpesh HaTzfoni. That's where the first Kohen walked in order to open the gates. And he walked in, and then there were these cubicles. Okay, so now, the cubicles, if you look on the map, you see there's Ta'im, 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 right? They go all around. There's five on one side, five on the other, and three. But here it says there's 38. Okay, the map obviously doesn't show everything. If you notice, it says ta'im, plural. There's cubicles, but it doesn't say how many, and that's because we're going to learn there were three levels. Okay, you can't really show that in a map. I mean, maybe there's a good way to do it, but this map is kind of simplified. Can't really see that. So now they're going to explain. Chamishah sar b'tzafon, chamishah sar b'dahom, u'shmona b'ma'arav. 15 in the north, 15 in the south, and 8 in the west. Shebatzafon v'shebidarom, right? So basically, if you think about it, the Ma'arav is the far side. So you walk into the Echal, and there's Ta'im on either side, and on the back wall. Now, you can't really see the back wall, because the Kodesh is blocking it, right? There's the whole sanctuary, then the Kodesh Kodashim is blocking it, and behind the Kodesh Kodashim, there's another three cubicles. How do you get to those cubicles, if they're behind the Kodesh Kodashim? Well, you can see in the map, all the cubicles have openings to each other. It was like a grand hallway, kind of, you know, one leading into the other, into the other. So now we're going to learn how this works. So chamishal gabei chamishal v'chamishal gabehem v'shebemara. Sorry, I skipped a word. Shebedarom chamishal 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 gabehem. Right, there were five on top of five, and then there were five on top of those. Okay, basically, three stories high. V'shebemarav on the west side, there were eight. So how'd they do that? Actually, I read it wrong. Sorry. Shevet Tzafon v'Shevet Darom. I stopped in the wrong place. In the north and the south, there were three. There were five. And then on the west side, Shlosha al gabei Shlosha v'Shnayim al gabeihem. Three on top of three, two on top of those. U'Shlosha p'tachim haya l'chol echad v'echad. This isn't exactly accurate, but each one had three openings. Okay, we're going to see some of them didn't really have three. If you look at the far ones on the back side, they only had two. But if there was an option for that's not true. They could have three, actually. Maybe all of them actually could have three. Some have even more. But basically, the ones on the top don't. You count the bottom one. Anyway, it's going to be like this. Each one opens two. Okay, we're going to see. Echad lahata mehayamin, ve'echad lahata me'asmol, right? To the east, to the right, to the left. Ve'echad lahatash al gabav, and to the one above it. Right, that's why the ones on the top obviously don't have ones above, but they do have ones below if you want to count it like that. Theoretically, there's three openings in each one. So everything opens up to the side so that you can go through like that and up to the top. There were stairs leading from the cubicles right on the different levels. Ubekeren mizrachit tzfonit hayu chamisha p'tachim. But in the one that we talked about that you get to from the Pishpesh HaTzfoni, that one had five. Echad lahataman ayamin. Okay, one to the right. There was no one to the left of it, but there was an entranceway. So the entranceway to there, then one on the right of it. Echad latash al gabav, one above it. And now we get to two additional ones. Echad lamisiba. Okay, we're going to learn what the misiba was. If you see on the map, there's a whole section going in the distance of the north, away from the sanctuary. There's a whole area called a misiba. It's written with lines because it's actually a ramp, or maybe even stairs, but probably a ramp that goes up. Okay, we're going to see what that's used for. Ve'echal le'pishpesh, one to the pishpesh, that was what we talked about. Ve'echal le'echal, and then one entering into the sanctuary. So if you see, all the other ta'im don't open into the sanctuary. Only on the north side and on the south side, that first one opens up into the sanctuary. For whatever reason, they don't mention the south one. But you can see from the map here, at least, that it opens up.
Does it tell us what purpose they serve?
The ta'im. So what were these used for? Storage. Again, this is all very practical. They needed to store a lot of things, so they used them for storage. Hatachtona chamisha. Now we're going to talk about the size of each one. The bottom levels were all 5 amot. But now, imagine you have this 5 ama section. You need a ceiling on it. Now, the ceiling can't be 5 amot because the ceiling has to sit on something. So it has to go into the wall of the Heichal. If you see, there's the walls of the Heichal nearby. It has to go into the wall of the Heichal, 1 ama at least, to have somewhere to sit. So therefore, it's roved shisha. Now, the ceiling of it is 6 amot, which means also that the wall of the... And then what happens once it's 6 amot? Well, then the next floor above is going to be 6 amot with then a ceiling of 7. Okay, and the next one's going to be 7. That's what we're going to see here. Ve'emtza'it shisha ve'roved sheva, ve'halyona sheva, and the upper one is 7. Okay, because now you have the space, right, from the ceiling of the bottom one is going to be the floor of the top one, which means that the wall of the Heichal was narrower as it went up. Okay, Shene'emar, where do we see? We see this from a pasuk in Malachim. Hayitzia, hatachtona chamesh ba'ama rochba, v'atichona shesh ba'ama rochba, v'ashlishit sheva ba'ama rochba. And there it describes that these basically got wider and wider as we go up. Mishnehe, we're going to explain about this misiba. I just want to point out now that when we get to the measurements of the wall and all the spaces and do all the numbers, which we're going to get to soon, when they describe the wall, they're going to describe the thickness of the wall based on the middle level, the 6 ama. I guess they do like an average, yeah. Right? Okay. Hatachtonach, misiba. Misiba ita ola mikeren mizrachit tzvonit. Okay, it was from the ground on the. Okay, and that's the first part of the misiba that we're going to get to, walking into the sanctuary. So, first of all, how did you get there? You got there by going through this ta, the first ta on the northern side. You go from there to the misiba. It starts on the floor and it goes up, 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 and the top part is going to hit into the roof. Okay, it's going to go lekeren tzvonit maravit. It's going to go to the northwest. And, okay, Shebahayu olim lagagot. From here, they would be able to go on the roof. Okay? I want to just show you. Where's that big map? The other one? No, I would put it here. Here. If you look at this map of the whole Har HaBayit, or the whole Mikdash, it's okay. You can see that there's 2 levels here. You see that? So here was the roof. There was a roof on the whole sanctuary building. Okay? There was an upper level. We're going to see the measurements are the same as the lower level. Okay, so there's a whole roof up there. We're going to see. So now if you wanted to get to the roof, and a second floor really. So if you wanted to get to the roof, you would go up the ramp. From the ramp, now they're going to describe, and we'll see why, how you get, it's on the north side, how you get from there to the south side. Okay, they're going to describe how you would walk. So this would go all the way up to the Tzvonit Maravit. So you would start from the east side on the northeast. You walk up the ramp to get to the northwest. Shebahayu, again, west is where the Kodesh Kodeshim is, right? The more in you get, that's west. Shebahayu olim legagot. Hata'im, legagot hata'im, to the roof of these ta'im. Haya olebe misibau panav lemarav. So here goes our guy who's walking. He's walking up. He's facing west. Halach al kol p'nei atzafon. He covers the whole northern section. Now he gets to the west, all the way to the end. He giel amarav, right, they're going very into detail. They could have said this a little shorter. He giel amarav, v'hafach panav l'darom. He now turns to go to the south, right? He makes a left turn. Halach klapei ma'arav. Now he goes along the whole western side. Had shumigia ledarom, until he gets to the end of the western side. And now higia klapei darom. He gets to the southern side. Or higia ledarom. Vayu panav la'mizrach. Now he's facing east. He turns left again. He's facing east. Hayam halech bedarom. Now we're going to finally find out what he's going there to do. Ad shumigia lepitcha shel aliyah. He gets now to the entrance of the upper level. This is how you get into the aliyah. Okay, you have to go up on the roof in order to get there. Shepitcha shel aliyah patuach klapei darom. It's open on the southern side only. Ubipitcha shel aliyah hayu shtei klunsaot shel erez shebahem hayu olim lagaga. Okay, I think the assumption is that this is on the roof of, someone was going around the roof. There must have been this area that went around, like the sovev on the mizbeach, it kind of went around. He's now between the first level and the second level. He goes in the entrance, and there's kind of like a stairwell. It's made of these two big beams. He would climb on those to get to the roof. Ubiroshan paspisin mavdil ba'aliyah ben ha'kodesh leben kodshei ha'kodeshim. What's the problem now? He's above the whole sanctuary. At this point, you can't see the kodesh and the kodesh kodeshim. You don't know where the border is. So they put these beams in so that people would know, or some sort of designators, right? These paspisim, which we weren't sure exactly what they were, in order to designate the difference. We've seen this in a bunch of places. They had these same things that were always designated. You knew, right? It's kind of like we have the red and white tape. You know, everybody knows when you have that, you know what it means. So there they had these paspisim. That was always the, this is the Kodesh, that's the Chol, or here it's Kodesh the Kodesh, because you weren't even allowed to go in the airspace above the Kodesh Kodeshim. Some people even say it was even more sanctified. Okay, I'm not getting into why, but anyway, there's a debate about that. V'lulin hayu p'tuchim ba'aliyah lebeit kodshei ha'kodeshim, sheba hayu mishalshelin, here's the fascinating part, they had these, how do they translate, chutes that went down. Well, soon we're going to get to the crates. Or, all right, I guess the lulim are crates, they call them? Hatches. Okay. No, the tevot are the crates. Hatches. They're hatches. These hatches were p'tuchim, or like a, I kind of imagine like some sort of chute that went from the aliyah, lebeit kodshei ha'kodeshim. Okay, that's how, if you needed to fix something in the kodshei kodeshim, how did you do it? Kind of fascinating question. You're not allowed in there. So you would come from the roof, you would come down through this type of chute, and shebahena yu mishal shalina tomim b'tevot. You would come down in some sort of, what was the word? Cage. I was thinking of a box, but
a crate.
They would put you down in a crate that was closed on three sides so that you wouldn't see everything there. They didn't want you, okay, we're going to see in a second. Kedei shalei azunu enehem mi beit kodesh ha-kodeshim. They didn't want them to benefit from seeing the kodesh kodeshim. So they made, okay, you have to fix this wall, fine. Go down like this, fix the wall, go back up, don't look at anything else. Keep focused on what you're doing. Pretend you're not in the Kodesh Kodeshim, basically. Okay, very interesting.
It's a nice metaphor. They wouldn't feast their eyes.
I know, I was thinking about that as I read it, right? It's, right, feast their eyes, yazunu, from Lashon of Mazon, food. It's interesting. Okay, vayechal mea al mea, right, there's a lot of food going on. Even in the Mikdash, it's called the fire eats, so to speak. Okay, again, maybe it's trying to bring, like we talked about, the senses, the hearing, the seeing, the tasting, the food, that there was almost like an idea of I'm going to say, I just lost my train of thought, but of maybe to make it more real to us, like how it, so to speak, in terminology that we can relate to. Okay, now we're going to get to measurements of the Heichal. Vayichal mea al mea arum mea. Okay, 100 by 100 by 100. Now, this looks very weird because if you look at the Heichal, it's a rectangle. It's not a square. But if you look at the whole picture of the Heichal, what they mean here is, if you go, now, the Ulam was a rectangle, right? A long, narrow, and the Heichal was wide, I guess maybe that's not the right word. It's actually, it's wide and short, the Ulam, if you're kind of walking in, and the Heichal is a rectangle the opposite direction. It's narrow and longer. So, but if you take the entire thing and you make kind of a square around it, even though that's not all considered the Heichal, because some of it is out the Heichal, but you would get to 100 by 100. And we're going to describe all the, and it's also height of 100. How do we get to a height of 100? So ha'otem sheshamot. This was the, if you remember, we walked up 12 stairs to get from the Ezrat Kohanim, right, from the area Bein Ulam LeMizbeach, up to the Ulam, which means that the height of the Ulam and the Heichal was higher by 6 amot, because remember, each stair is half an amot, so 12 stairs, 6 amot. What filled in that space? It was kind of dead space. They filled it up with dirt or something that kind of created a floor that made it at a higher height. Okay, why they did this is a question. Some people say it's a support for the walls and everything. Some people say, no, it definitely can't be for that. And, you know, maybe they just wanted it higher because they want this Aliyah LaKodesh. So they kind of built it up. Otem, like a tomb, it's closed, right? It's just closed space that nobody ever uses. It just goes up 6 amot. Vigova arba imama. Okay, so you go from 6. Now you go up 40 amot. So now we're at 46. Okay, we want to get to the number. So the height of the whole Heichal itself was 40. Ve'ama kiyur, above it there were these decorative elements. So that's another one. We're at 47. Ve'amatayim beit dilfa, ve'amatika, 2 amot of support for the ceiling, and then the ceiling itself. That gets us up 3. The ceiling was 1, and the support beams for the ceiling were 2 amot. So that gets us up to 50. Ve'ama ma'aziva, and then they plastered it. That's 51. Vigova shel aliyah. Now we get to the, right after the plastering, now there's the aliyah. So gova ama, mem ama, again, it's going to be the same measurement. So we're now at 51. So we go up another 40, we get to 91. Ama kior, again, we have the kior, the decorative elements. Amatayim beit dilfava, amatikra, the supports for the ceiling and the ceiling. That gets you up another 5. So that gets you up to 95. Va'ama maziva, that's 96. Now we're left with the last 4. What are they? Gimel amot, shalosh amot ma'ake. It needed, right now that we're up on the aliyah, you need
a railing.
A railing, that's the word I couldn't think of. Ve'ama, and what's the last ama? Kale orev, to get rid of the ravens. It had these spokes that got rid of the ravens, okay, that scared away the birds. You can imagine, right? You go to this place where you see tons of ravens all over, so imagine them going in, so they wanted to keep them away. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he disagrees a little bit. He says, "Lo haya kale orev olem min amidah." That's not part of the calculation. That was something that was there, but you don't count that part. Ela arba amot haya ma'ake. He says the whole ma'ake, the railing, was 4 amot, and that's how we got to 100. Okay, now we're going to do the other measurements. Mimizrach lemarav. If you're going east to west, so it's also me'a amah, because we said the whole thing was me'a amah. So how do we get to me'a amah? Kotel ha'ulam chamesh. Okay, the wall of the ulam is 5. Vahulam 11. Okay, the ulam is now 11. That gets us up to 16. Kotel haichal 6. The wall of the heichal. If you look at the map, right, there's all these gray, or I don't know exactly what color, greenish gray. Okay, those are all the walls. So there's a wall into the ulam, there's the wall into there. That's 6. That gets us up to 22. Tocho 40. Now, the size of the heichal itself was 40. Then, so that's 62. Ama traksin. There was an ama of space where they put the parochet in between. If you remember, there was a wall in Bayit Rishon there, but in Bayit Sheni, it was too tall to build the wall. They, like an ama wall wouldn't be supported by the height there. So basically, they put instead just a parochet. So that space was an ama, but they kept the space of the ama that was there before. So now we're up to 63. Esrim ama beit kodesh kodashim. Okay, that was 20 amot, the kodesh kodashim. Kotel haichal 6. Now we have to remember, behind the kodesh kodashim was a wall, and then more of these cubicles. Okay, so we're now up to 89. Vehata 6, the ta'im, like we said, we're going to measure the ta'im based on the middle story, which was 6. So that's 6. Vakotel hata 5. Okay, and the wall of the ta is then 5. So we're up to, that gets us up to 100, okay? Min hatzafon ledarom. Now we're going north to south. Shivim ama kotel. Now here we're going to say it's only shivim ama. Even though we said the whole thing was me'al me'a, the ulam is going to jut out 15 ama on each side, and that's going to get us the extra 30 that gets us to 100. But right now they're looking just at the heichal. So now go north to south. Again, they'll help you looking at the map. First, the first thing we get to is the mesibah on the north side, but before the mesibah, there's a wall around the mesibah. So, kotel ha-mesibah 5, the wall is 5, ha-mesibah 3, that's 8, the kotel hata 5, now we get to the walls before the ta'im, that's 5, that gets us up to 13, v'hata 6, then the next, right, then the cubicle itself is another 6, that gets us up to 25, Let's go back. We have the Okay. The misib, the kotel is 5. The misiba is 3. That's 8. The kotel atah is 5. That gets us up to 13. Then the ta is 6. That gets us up to 19. Kotel haichal 6. That gets us up to 25. Tocho esrim. Okay, now it was 40 by 20. So now we're at the 20. Okay, it's 20. That gets us up to 45. Kotel haichal 6. That gets us up to 51. Right, the wall on the other side. Now we're going to have, again, the cubicles. Hata 6, 57. Kotel hata 5, 62. Now, what are we left with? Look at the map. There's something called Beit Horadat HaMayim. This is where they would get the water. The water would go from Amayan. It would come to here. Shalosh Amot. Right? Bahakotel Chamesh Amot. Okay? So that's the last 8. That gets us up to 70. Haulam Odef Alav Chamesh Eschei Amah Min HaTzafon V'Chamesh Eschei Amah Min HaDarom. The Ulam jutted out 15 Amah on the north side and 15 Amah to the south. The extra area where it jutted out, there's actually a bit of a debate exactly where to put the line of how big this area was, but maybe it's just 15 amma, maybe it's a little more, but that space was used for all the knives of the Kohanim that they used for the Shechita. And not just for the Shechita, remember they cut up all the, right, all the parts after and all that, they used the knife. Okay, it's narrow in the back and it's wide in the front. That's the ulam is wide and then it becomes narrow. Vidome la'ari. And here they make a comparison. It looks like a lion. Shenemar hoy Ariel Kiryat Hanad. Ariel Ariel Kiryat Hanad David. Ma Ari. Okay, this is a pasuk from Yeshayahu. Ariel, if you remember before, we used it referring to the Mizbeach. That was where we had those four. It said it was 12 amma, and we tried to say, how is that? But in this pasuk, it's not referring to the altar, it's referring to the whole, the sanctuary. So, hoy Ariel kirata David chana, ma ari tsar, and they say, what is Ariel? What does it have to do? Ah, ari, Ariel. Okay, like a lion. Ma ari tsar mechorav v'rachav medefanav, wide in the front and narrow in the back. No, if that would be the way I would think, but I guess his face is very wide. Ap haichal tsar mechorav v'rachav medefanav. Okay, Hadron Alach Pitchosh Alechal. That was the description of the Hechal. Now we're going to talk about, this is almost like a summary, of all the measurements of the Azara. Because now we've gotten everything. We started la'at. Now we're going to get everything. Kol Azara ita orech 187 al rochav 135. If you look at the Azara, in Perakeh, if you look at the Azara, okay, the Azara, again, we don't mean the Azarat Nashim. We're talking now about the Azara, which started with the Ezra Israel, went to Ezra Kohanim. That's what we call the inner courtyard, or the courtyard. So the Azara ita or so it was 187 by 135. Now we're going to get to the first, describe the 187, then the 135. Min ha-mizrach l'marav, if you remember, the Ezra Nashim was a perfect square. This is obviously rectangular. From mizrach to marav, so again, you walk in, and let's start counting. We're going to get up to 187 until you get to the far side. Mekom drisat ragle Israel, that's Ezra Israel, where, and remember, that meant Israelim can come anytime they want, right? Whereas in the Ezra Kohanim, they can go, but only if they have a particular reason to be there. Achat Esrei Ama, that's 11. Mekom drisat, we're going to see, by the way, that 11 is a number that appears here a lot. I'm not sure why so many things were 11 amot, or even the 22 is 11 times 2. It's just interesting. Makom drisat haKohanim 11 ama. Now, where the Kohanim can go, now it's really not exactly accurate. It just means where the Kohanim can go until they get to the Mizbeach. That's another 11. Bamizbeach 32, another 32. Okay, we're now, we had 22, 32, 54. Now, Ben Ha'ulam LaMizbeach. Now the next area was 22. Remember we said it was steps, but there was also some space before the steps, or maybe not, right? There were those interesting steps. 22 amma. Hachel, this isn't really the chel, this should be hahechal kuf amma. Okay, so we were at 76, because that was 54 plus 22, 76. Now we have 100, that's 176. We're almost there, we need 187. Okay, v'achat esrei amah l'acharei beit hakaporet. Remember that area where that Kohen was standing by himself guarding and they sent him a friend to stand with him because it's kind of lonely back there? That's l'acharei beit hakaporet. There we have the last 11. We got to 187. Min ha-tzafon l'darom, from the north to the south, 135. Min hakevesh lamizbeach 62. Now, here's the first time they're not describing it actually from the wall. We'll see why when we get to the end. Because look, the kevesh doesn't, it's not flushed up against the wall, but we'll get back to that space after. Now, the ramp was 32, and the mizbeach was 32. So how do we get to 62? It should be 64. But if you think about it, the ramp goes up to the top of the mizbeach. The mizbeach was only, right, it was, there were two amot that are underneath, because the sovev goes out an amma, and the yesod goes out an amma, and that part is under the ramp. So that's why we get to 62. Min mizbeach latabaot, the space between the mizbeach and the rings that they use for the slaughtering, shmona amot. Okay, so we're now at 40. Sorry, not 40. We were 62. We're now at 70. Makom hatabaot, the space that the tabaot took up, eslim va'arba'a, okay, it took up 24 amot, so we're now at 94. Min hatabaot l'shulchanot, the space, right, then from the tabaot to the shulchanot, arba'a, there were 4 amot, 98. Min hashulchanot v'lananasim, arba'a, from the tables to the nanasim was 4. Min hananasim l'kotel azara, notice what they skipped, the nanasim themselves. Okay, what are the nanasim? Those are those mini pillars that on them they had the wood, and then on that they hooked the animals. So it doesn't say how much space they took up. Min hananasim lekotel azara, from there to the wall, shmona amot. Okay, so we're now up to 110. We need to get up to 135. So what do they say? V'hamotar, we don't really know about the rest of it, but it must be, we're going to split it between the two things that we didn't know the size of, bein hakevesh lakotel, from the ramp to the wall, umakoma nanasim, in the space that the nanasim took up. Okay? We're going to assume that that was the extra 25 amot. It's the one thing they don't really have figured out exactly. Next Mishnah. Shesh the shakot hayuva azara. Now that we talked about the whole space of the azara, now we're going to mention, it seems a little out of order here because it sounds like we're kind of summarizing all the, but now they're going to tell us there were some lishakot inside, some chambers. Shalosh batzafon v'shalosh badarom. Shebitzafon, now if you notice, this actually appears by us on the darom. Okay, there was a bit of a girsa issue whether it should say tzafon or darom here. So we'll read it, shebidarom. Lishkat hamelach, lishkat haparva, and lishkat hamedichim. Now we're going to explain what these were used for. If you see, they're at the right near the, they're part in the Ezra Israel and part in the Ezra Kohanim on the southern side. Lishkat haMelach, sham hayu notnim melach laKorban. That's where they would salt the korbanot. Lishkat haParva, sham hayu mochin orot haKodeshim. That's where they treated the hides. Va'al gaga haya beit ha'tfilah l'kohen gadol b'yom ha'kippurim. If you remember, there were two places he would tovel. One was by the Shaar HaMayim. We saw that next to Beit Avtinas on the roof there. Okay? There he would do it. That was in the chol, if you remember. One tefillah he does in the chol, and the other tefillah he has to do in the kodesh. So there he does them in this area, which is in the kodesh. Lishkat ha'midichim, we learned about this already, Shashama yu'midichim kirbeh kodeshim. After they cut up the pieces of the animal, when they took the innards, they couldn't wash them in the azara. They were so disgusting, full of feces. So they took them out into this lishka, and they did it there. Umisham misiba ole lagad beit haparva. And from there, there was here it really means a spiral staircase. That's usually with the, okay, I didn't mention this before. Misiba really means a spiral staircase. In that case over there, it didn't mean a spiral staircase. Nobody really thinks that that's what it means. But here it seems like there was a spiral staircase that would go from there to the roof of the beit haparva. Next Mishnah, Shebedarom, now, or really in our verse, Shebitzafon, on the northern side now, Lishkata Eitz, Lishkata Gola, and Lishkata Gazit. Okay, Lishkata Eitz doesn't appear on your map. It's because they call it Lishkat Paledrin, if you remember that from Yoma. That's where the Kohen Gadol would sleep the week before. They separate him the week before, he would sleep there. So people say, how could he sleep in the Azara? Anyway, we'll leave that aside. So, Lishkata Eitz, Lishkata Gola, Lishkata Kazit, Lishkata Eitz, Amar Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, Shachachti Ma'itam Shameshet. Again, he says, I forgot what this was used for. Abba Shaul Omer, Lishkat Kohen Gadol Haita. He says, Lishkat Kohen Gadol Haita Choreshte, and he's kind of telling you two things. He's saying, it's really the Lishkat of the Kohen Gadol, which we call Lishkat Paledrin, or in some Girsot, it's Palhedrin. It was achoresh tehen. Now this sounds weird. It's actually in between the other two. So what does it mean achoresh tehen? So what they mean is that it was more into the room than the lishkat gazit on the west, and it's going east west. It was further in the room, and going north south, it was further in the room from Lishkat HaGola. You can see Lishkat HaGola is more closer to the wall, and this one is kind of inside the wall. Okay, so that's kind of, that must be, that's the way they interpret at least what he means. Begad Shloshtan Shaveh, the height of all of these was the same. It's unclear whether it means even the roof kind of went from one to the other, or just that they were the same height. Lishkat HaGola Sham Haya Bor Kavua, it had a well that was always there. Okay, why is it called Lishkat HaGola? Some people say because it was made by the Ole Gola. They built it. They built this well or put in this well, and therefore it's named after them. Some people say Gola Milashon Galgal, that we're going to see in a minute. Galgal Natun Alav Umisham Spikim Mayan Lekol Azara. That's where they would get water for the Azara from this well. And therefore the Galgal, because of that, they called it the Gola. Lishkat HaGazit, okay, of the chamber of hewn stone. Okay, what did they use that for? We already learned that they did the payasot there. You remember the Kohanim then went to Dav, say Kriyat Shema there. They also had the sections where they put their clothing when they would change. Sham Haita Sanhedrin Gedola Shel Yisrael Yosheven. Now we're going to learn something else about there. That's where the Sanhedrin was. Now part of it is in the Kodesh, part of it is in the Chol. Seems the Sanhedrin sat in the part that was in the Chol, and the Kohanim were in the part of the Kodesh. Vidan. Now, what did they do there? And what were they doing in the Beit HaMikdash? Vidana et HaKiuna, or et HaKohanim. Okay, they would judge Kohanim whether they were Pasul or not. V'kohen shenimtza bo Pasul, lovesh shchorin umetatev shchorin, v'yotze v'holech lo. If it turns out he was Pasul, if they judged him, you're Pasul, then he would wear black, and he would, you know, wear black clothing, wrap himself in black, maybe a black cloak, and then he would leave. V'shalonim tzabo psul, and if he wasn't pasul, lovesh levanim umetatef levanim, nichnas umeshamesh umachiv hakohanim. And then he would wear, right, he would wear white, and he would walk back into the mikdash. Okay, first of all, just before we move on, obviously the Sanhedrin was used for many other things besides this. We know that, and it was probably, you know, also they talk about how the Shekhinah is Shoreh and the Sanhedrin, there's all this question. The Sanhedrin makes a mistake, and it's one of the answers, right? Some people are of the opinion, oh, they could potentially make mistakes, but we have a system, and the system, you know, we have to kind of keep the system in place, even if there's a mistake. Others say, oh no, it was in the Shekhinah Gazit, it was where the Shekhinah was, of course, you know, there's no way they made mistakes. So they obviously did other things, but because we're in Midot, and in my mind, because they want to end the Masechet on this note, and maybe that's why they didn't want to end with dry measurements, right? Which kind of, not dry measurements, but boring measurements. Or maybe they're not boring, I don't know. But, you know, they wanted to end with something else, and maybe that's why they went back to this, and it was all just a way to get to Lishkat HaGazit and judging the Kohanim about their Psulim. So now they're going to end with, V'yom tov hayu osin, shelo nimtza psul b'zara'o shel Aharon HaKohen. Okay, if there were no Kohanim psulim, they'd make a big celebration that there's no psul, you know, disqualifications in the children of Aaron. V'kach hayu omrim, and this is what they would say, Baruch HaMakom Baruchu, right? Baruch Hashem, basically, shelo nimtza psul b'zara'o shel Aharon. U'baruchu shebachar ba'aharon u'bebanav la'amod l'sharet lefnei Hashem b'beit kodshei HaKodashim. And with that, hatorach kol azara u'slikala masechet midot and u'slikala seder kodashim. Okay, interesting end to the masechet. It's end to the whole seder, and I want to talk about it for a minute. In the context of this, I want to remind you all that when we learned kinim, we said that kinim was actually really the last masechet of the Mishnah. Now, you can't say the Gemara, you know, because of some idea in the Gemara, because the idea is in the Mishnah. It's not that the Mishnah ended Seder Kodashim with this Mishnah, by the way, right? All Seder Kodashim in the Mishnah ended with Kinim. You remember the last Masechet, yeah, the last Mishnah in Kinim? About elderly and how elderly people forget things, but if they learn Torah, it keeps them going. So I wanted to talk about these two ideas that it's talking about and how both these things kind of end the Masechet, one in the Mishnah, one in the Gemara. I think, you know, certainly from my experience learning all of Seder Kodashim, and I hope in your minds, it was a way of bringing, you also think about, before, I want to ask another question before I explain. Midot theoretically should have been the first thing in Seder Kodashim, right? It's much better to learn all those things when you have a picture of how everything was. It gives you the framework. And it's always a classic question when you give an introduction to a class. Do you start with introduction the first class, or do you do the introduction later on once everybody's more into it? I always felt as a teacher that it was useless to give an introduction in the beginning because nobody understands anything to understand the introduction. You really need the introduction after, when you already have a picture, then the introduction everything fits into place. And that's the way I felt when we learned this now, this Masechet. It kind of brings everything to life that we've been learning. First of all, I think that they wanted to end with humans. Right? They wanted to end with a human touch, that there's people behind this. It's not just measurements and room and buildings, but they wanted to end with the element of who these people are and how special they were and sanctified they were. And even just to give you a picture of people, right? If you look at the pictures, right? So these maps are pretty dry, but if you look at the picture in the book, they have people walking around and lots of people. And they wanted to give you the feeling of what it was like to be in the Mikdash. And I think it would have been hard for us to understand that before we learned all the sacrifices and all the rules and all of this. And I always go back to this. When you look at Ezer Mekoman Shel Zvachim, that is in the tefillah in the morning in between Berchot HaShachar and Baruch Sha'amar, which, by the way, is a remnant of Berchot HaTorah of some old Nusach, that was part of the Berchot HaTorah. You know, we say Berchot HaTorah, we say a small section from the Mishnah and a Braita to be Yotzei, you know, we say Psukim, and then, so this was a different version of it, and they said a much longer, right, which kind of got cut out of our tefillah and put in that middle section that some people say, some people don't say. Anyway, I used to read that, and I didn't understand any of the lingo there, but now that we've learned all this, we understand what it means, Shri Tatam B'Tzafon, and Shri Tatam B'Darom, and the, you know, the Matanot, Shtayin Chain Arba, and the different ways that you can sprinkle blood, and the different names of the sacrifice, what they mean. And this is all a way of making it all come alive. And I think this Mishnah ends, our Masechet ends with the idea of the human element of it, to really imagine this isn't just dry halachot, this was a whole thing that was going on and happening. But then if you look at Kinim, it ends with the value of learning Torah. And I was thinking that, you know, once this was all written, there was no temple anymore. So all we could do is imagine it in our heads. We can't actually experience it. And maybe they're trying to say, well, you should feel good about all you've done because you've also learned Torah, you've sharpened your mind, even though we're not actually practically implementing any of this right now,
you're saying it every day.
Right. You're saying it every day. You're connecting, right, the learning, but even not even that, I want to say that the learning process is giving you something for yourself. And, you know, for your mind, for your, you know, it's like I said last time, it's the biggest push to do Daf Yomi, right? We're about to start our last Masechet before the Siyum. But that's the idea here, about the importance of learning, that even if you're not learning things that are practical, it's good for you in other ways.
And particularly when we don't have a Beit HaMikdash, what we've got is learning.
Exactly. And particularly, right, this whole Seder, which is really not relevant.
And just to remind you that it goes back to Tanakh, because it specifically mentions Aharon at the very end.
Ah, yafeh. So that it goes back to the Torah, yafeh, connects it all the way back to the beginning. That's also a nice idea. And it's interesting, it says, L'sharei lefnei Hashem bebeit kodshei ha-kodashim. So it sounds like it's talking about specifically the Kodesh Kodashim, but a lot of them, the Mefarshim say, it really means the whole thing. And it's actually saying that the whole thing is Kodesh Kodashim. Like we always say Kodesh Kodashim, you know, but really we should view this entire thing as Kodesh Kodashim. The whole thing is sanctified. Okay, with that, we'll do the Hadron Alachs. Hadron Alach Masechet Midot v'Seder Kodashim v'Hadron Halan. דעת הנהלך מסכם מידו בסדר קודשים ודעת החלן לא נשם מנך מסכם מידו בסדר קודשים ולא נשם מנן לא בעל מדעים ולא בעל מדעתם הדר הנהלך מסכם מידו בסדר קודשים והדר חלן דעת הנהלך מסכם מידו בסדר קודשים ודעת החלן לא נשם מנך מסכם מידו ולא נשם מנן לא בעל מדעים ולא בעל מדעתם Hadron Halach Masechet Midot Seder Kodashim V'Hadron Halan Dat Halach Masechet Midot Seder Kodashim V'Dat Halan Lo Nashem Inach Masechet Midot Seder Kodashim V'Lo Tik Nashem Inan Lo Ba'al Hadein V'Lo Ba'al Madate Yehi Ratzon Fanecha Adonai Eloheinu V'Lehi Avotenu Shetehe Torah Umanutenu Ba'Olam Hazeh Otehe Imanu La'Olam Haba Chanina Bar Papa Rami Bar Papa Nachman Bar Papa Achai Bar Papa Abar Mary Bar Papa Raphim Bar Papa Rachish Bar Papa Surcha Bar Papa Adar Bar Papa Daru Bar Papa הרב נא אדוני אלוהינו את דברי תורתך בפינו ופיביות עמך בישראל ונהיה כולנו אנחנו וצאצאינו וצאצאי עמך בישראל כולנו יודעי שמך ולנותי תורתך מהווי תחכמני מצוותך כי לעולם אילי יהי לבי תמים בחוקך למען לא אבוש לעולם לא אשכח פיקודך כי בם חייתני ברוך אתה אדוני למדני חוקך אמן 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 סלע ועד Hear it some for Nechat and Alohai. Geshem Shazotanu Lisayim, Mesecha Mido Besidur Kodashim, Kain Tazrenu Latrim, Sechtot, Disparim Achirim, Lisaimam, Lilmodu Lilamed, Lishmor Velasot, Lilakem, and Kol Devrei Tamut Torotecha Biava. Uzchut Kol Atanaim Velmoraim, Tamidei Chachamim, Yamod Lanu Lizareinu, Shelo Yamush Torah, Mipinu, Mipi Zareinu, Bezera Zareinu, Ad Olam. Titkeem Banu Betalechacha, Tanche Otach, Beshochacha, Tishmor Alecha, Bakitzotahi, Tisichecha. כיבי ירבו ימיך ויוסיפו לך שנות חיים, אורך ימים בימינה, בשמאלה, עושר וכבוד, אדוני עוז ועמו ייתן, אדוני יברך את עמו בשלום.